Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by California College of the Arts, offering extension courses focused on design, fine arts, and digital technology. Campuses in Rock Ridge, Oakland, and Potrero Hill in San Francisco. cca.edu/extension.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. About 13,000 healthcare workers are on the picket lines today at five UC medical centers in San Diego, LA, Irvine, Davis, and San Francisco. Contract talks have been plodding along for a year now, hung up over staffing, pay, and pension issues. UC officials say the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees is resisting pension reforms more than a dozen other bargaining units have agreed to. The union says the UC is recklessly cost-cutting everything except executive salaries. Hospital managers have canceled elective treatments during the walkout and braced for an estimated $20 million in losses. Ronald Reagan UCLA Medical Center, for instance, has hired about 400 temporary workers to cover shifts. The strike ends Thursday morning at 4. A growing body of evidence indicates where you live can make a big difference in how you're treated for certain ailments. KQED health editor Lisa Alaferis has more on a report released today from the California Healthcare Foundation.
The report looks at treatments for breast cancer, prostate cancer, and certain back conditions. The results are startling. Women in Laguna Hills have double mastectomy at more than twice the state average. Men with prostate cancer in the Riverside County town of Indio are treated with a specific kind of radiation therapy at almost five times the statewide average.
And that's just puzzling to us.
That's Maribeth Shannon with the California Healthcare Foundation, which conducted the analysis. The foundation is a funder of the California Report. Why the varying treatments? Shannon says it's probably not the patients.
It's much more likely that the physicians who are practicing in that area tend to rely on that course of treatment over others.
Physicians learn from other doctors in their area and often adopt a similar practice style. And that's not necessarily the best path for patients, says Jeff Balcora. He's a professor of health policy at UC San Francisco. He says patients need to advocate for themselves.
Any given doctor is different than any given patient, so we just need to make sure they understand what we want and what we need.
The hope is that doctors will also examine how they practice, too. For the California Report, I'm Lisa Alaferis.
See for yourself how different regions compare. Look for the link to State of Health at our website, californiareport.org. Gun control has slipped from the headlines in Washington, D.C., but legislation continues to move through state capitals. Elaine Corey reports on a couple of bills pending in Sacramento aimed at making gun owners more accountable.
One measure would make gun owners liable for any harm done by their firearm, regardless of who caused it. Right now, they can be held liable if a child gets a hold of their loaded weapon and harms someone. But the proposed law goes further, in that gun owners could be penalized if they leave a loaded weapon unsecured so that a child simply could access it. Assembly Whip Jimmy Gomez, a co-sponsor of AB 231, says if you own a firearm, you must take precautions.
Keep your gun in a lockbox, have a trigger lock, keep the bullets away from the gun itself, and that way, if something happens and somebody tries to use your gun, it's less likely that they'll be able to get a hold of it and then actually do something dangerous with it.
Many gun owners say, of course, they're responsible for their firearms, but they don't need new laws to make them safer.
If you have a gun, common sense, you know, without anybody even telling you anything, is to lock it up so there's no access from anybody that's not authorized to use a firearm.
Scott Jackson is a firearms owner and safety instructor in the Bay Area city of Burlingame. He supports common sense gun storage, and he tries to lead by example.
Look a little better.
These are bolted to the floor, and these are $3,000 safes.
At his shop, all of Jackson's firearms are locked up, unloaded, when they're not in use. Under current California law, customers buying a firearm must leave the shop with their gun unloaded. They must also have an approved gun safe or a locking device, such as this cable lock that Jackson loops through an unloaded Glock pistol.
I open the action on the gun, slide the cable lock through, lock it, secure it. Completely inoperational.
If a second gun safety bill passes in Sacramento, gun owners would also have to lock up all firearms whenever they leave their residence. SB 108, sponsored by Democratic Senator Leland Yee, is also aimed at preventing unauthorized access to firearms. But gun owners complain they'd have to reload their guns each time they come home or give up on self-defense.
Having an unloaded firearm in your nightstand drawer is tantamount to having a rock to respond to an immediate danger that presents itself.
Sam Paredes is a lobbyist and the executive director of Gun Owners of California, which he says has more than 30,000 members.
What the government cannot do is tell people how, when, and where to keep those firearms in their own homes. Cannot be done. It's unconstitutional.
Paredes says the Democrats' proposed new gun safety measures are onerous and simply unnecessary.
The vast majority of Californians are properly and safely storing their firearms because the number of accidents is very small. We hear about every time it happens, it makes the media.
In fact, the number of accidental firearm deaths in California has been dropping from 146 in 2005 to 27 deaths in 2010. Some say that's because of strict new state regulations. Others say firearm deaths have been dropping everywhere. But that is small comfort to people who've been touched by this kind of tragedy, such as Fairfield mother Sandra Macias, whose 14-year-old son Alex was killed in an accidental shooting.
He was a comedian. He was very funny. He played soccer and baseball and basketball. He was in the band. He was a Boy Scout. He was always busy doing something.
Alex was killed by the brother of one of his friends, who was playing with a shotgun he found in his family's garage in Sassoon. The accident took place 18 years ago, but neither Macias nor her two daughters has ever been the same.
You try to move on and live a normal life, but it's there every day. It's there when you go to bed at night, and it's there when you wake up in the morning, and everything has changed.
With the stakes so high, Democratic lawmakers say they'll continue to push gun safety measures to the limits of the Constitution. Gun advocates are already preparing for a court battle if any new restrictions are passed. For the California Report, I'm Elaine Corey.
And finally today, firefighters from L.A. and Orange counties are on their way to help with rescue operations in Oklahoma after that devastating tornado. Depending on how the situation unfolds, more people may fly east later today. That's the California Report for Tuesday, May 21st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California, and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment, Health Happens with Prevention, at calendow.org.